Welcome to Be Customer Led, where we'll explore how leading experts in customer and employee experience are navigating organizations through their own journey to be customer led and the actions and behaviors employees and businesses exhibit to get there. And now, your host, Bill Stakos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Be Customer Led. I am so amazingly excited about this show. I'm not bringing you one guest or two guests or even three guests. That's right. I bring you four guests. This is the Experience All-Star Show, folks. An amazing lineup of individuals. First and foremost, we have Hollis Roberts. She's a partner at Career Design, career coach, resume writer, speaker, an amazing individual. We also have Jill Rath, who I think a lot of you also know. She's a customer experience strategist, founder, and strategic advisor. She heads up and runs the Jill Rath Group. She's got a weekly live cast as well, which we can just quickly talk about it towards the end of the show. Then we're going to go to the CX rockstar himself, James Dotkins, and we're going to wrap up this show with Dennis Wakabayashi. And now Dennis is Vice President of Customer Experience Solutions. He's also the top CX influencer of the decade. So thanks, everyone, for coming on the show. We've got a very, very special edition today, and we're going to walk through some pretty cool stuff that this group of four people have come together to produce. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And everyone, welcome to the show. I can't wait to get into this conversation.
Wow. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, hey, Hollis, let's start with you. So a lot of your work is about working with individuals to define themselves in their careers, right? And, you know, if you think about that for a little, can you just talk to our listeners about what you're creating from a content perspective and how you're working with folks and for your area of expertise, right? So especially as you think about the Experience All-Stars program and platform that you guys are developing, is there a specific archetype or persona you might be focusing on?
So we are very excited for our course to be available for folks because we put a lot of care into developing an end-to-end EX to CX course that would be made for every person within an organization. We really believe that this program is going to be something that every person could take and start a conversation for a whole organization about your EX and CX practices. So for us, we believe that really starts with you. It starts with every single individual showing up and contributing in a meaningful way. And so my portion of the content is really focused on how can you show up in a way that not only benefits the organization, but really benefits you. So what do you need in order to feel personally successful and engaged in the work that you're doing? Because when we're doing work that we are really good at, and where we're getting what we need on a daily basis, then we not only feel better about what we do, we see growth, and we also serve as a very meaningful member of the team, and we get invested in the organization's initiatives. So I spend a lot of time talking about what we can do to understand what it is that we are really desiring, what our strengths are, and how we can bring it to give our best to our organization and the EX to CX initiatives that our organization has.
I love that. So super. So it's customized for every individual then going through that program, or you're doing it like generally enough where people are sort of taking this in, here's the stuff that I need to work on, et cetera.
Absolutely. So it's general for everyone. I'm a huge believer that when you know who you are, what it is that you are desiring, and what it is that you want out of your career, then you can find any opportunity within your current position in order to really feel fulfilled and be successful and contribute in a meaningful way. So I give thought starters on how can you start having that conversation with yourself. So Jill will talk a lot when it comes to EX about how do we lead others? And my focus is on how do we lead ourselves? How do we lead ourselves in a way that we feel proud of the experience that we're bringing into an organization?
So cool. So like, you know, there, if you think about the customer experience space or the employee experience space, I mean, it's been around for a long time, right? But there are so many new people going into customer experience or employee experience because it's just such a hot growing market. A lot of folks may not have the background or the formal training and the discipline. So there are a lot of new folks just kind of just saying, hey, where do I start? What do I do? So what advice do you have for these individuals? You know, what do you think is the first step in terms of leading yourself, especially when you're jumping into a completely new role that might be foreign to you?
Yeah, first, it's interesting to me how much value we put on traditional education and traditional experience when truly we all have a value that we're bringing. So I think the first thing is understanding what value are you bringing? What perspective are you bringing into the role that will help you be successful and help you see your organization's EX and CX programs in a really special way? So really grounding yourself in that, I think, is important. And I believe you should take yourself on as your first project. So as you're entering your new position or taking on this new project of filling your EX or CX program within your organization, to really decide what is the experience of you. So know your own values and mission and how you can bake that into who you are personally and the way you do business. I think it sets you up to be successful within the organization and to really understand the principles in a really deep and meaningful way, and to notice how the little changes that you can make really make a big impact, and then you can deploy that at a company-wide level based on the company's culture and values and mission and vision as well.
So I've been doing this work for a long time, and I never thought of it. Now Hollis, now I got to show up Monday and create like a design thinking workshop for myself and start working on myself. I really never thought about it. That's such amazing advice. Would you say, hey, you know, like use a design thinking or human centered design thinking toolkit to think about what that plan is for yourself? Is that how you approach it? Not only with Experience All Stars as you guys are developing you guys have developed the platform, but also just maybe in the day-to-day work that you're doing with your individual clients?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a big believer that we're entrepreneurs of our own career. So we are the business owner of us and the service that we offer and bring to organizations. And so when you think of it from that perspective, we can use all the same principles to design how we want the experience of ourselves to be within an organization. So yes, on personal note, with the work that I do with individuals, I build design principles into the programs they offer. And at a mass level, that's what I will be doing within this course that we're offering together, is sharing the basis of those principles and how we can lead ourselves and get what we need out of our career so we're showing up in a really meaningful way.
So cool. Let's take that up a level for a second too, right? So, you know, outside of the individual, and I love the idea of treating yourself as your first project. I mean, honestly, I feel stupid for not ever even thinking about that. That's so basic and just so like, yeah, right? It's just one of those things like, yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't you do that? I'm not that deep, maybe. But let's take it up a level, like from a company perspective, right? You have talent management executives, you've got recruiting individuals. What should they be doing to get the right talent in the door as well, right? So, you know, you want someone who's deeper than Bill Stakos, right? Like, what should they be doing to find those types of individuals?
I don't know about you, Bill, but I feel like for as much as companies have evolved, the hiring process has not. And we pay a lot of care to the customer acquisition process, and I would love to see companies pay that same care to the employee acquisition process. So as you're onboarding employees, that you're paying attention to what does that say about your brand, and how can you do this in a way that reflects your culture and not just how things have always been done. And, you know, one of the most overlooked areas is that, you know, most of us Most organizations use an applicant tracking system to bring in employees, and there are disqualifiers right off the bat that are all experience-based, when what we really care about is cultural fit. So from the very beginning, we're sending a message that, you know, there's a certain criteria that's more important than how you show up and do your work every day. So I think changing that core system and thinking about how can we create an onboarding process that really matches the organization's culture is the best first step we can take.
Awesome. Awesome advice. Hey, Jill, let's hear a little bit from you now. You're doing a ton of work and producing a lot of content on the employee experience side and connecting EX to CX, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, thank goodness sort of the light is at the end of the tunnel on all things COVID, it seems. But like, what's your view on the impact of COVID on EX, on employee experience as a practice? And then how does that translate then even from EX into CX in the work that you're doing every day?
Great question. And I think I'll piggyback actually on what Hollis said, because the idea of really looking at who you're hiring, not only what they've done, is really critical. And I do think that this impact, you know, of course, like anything in life, there are negative and positive effects that happen when you're dealing with a tragedy. And so fortunately, I think it's actually been more positive than negative. And I'll tell you why. First, the negative impacts, of course, has been, it's really difficult right now for people to find employees. To get people to show up for work is, you know, with the high risk factors of health, with a lot of the payments that are going out, it's cheaper for, you know, people are better off and financially and not concerning about their health to stay home than they are to show up for work. You know, with the furloughed, many people being furloughed, people are juggling the roles. There's a scaled return of people. So there, companies are having to reimagine their flow of team systems, and it's not fluid. It's much harder on the EX experience right now. And like I said, many people have gone away during this time to be with family and maybe in other states. And in this process of so many months, have decided maybe not to return to where they lived or to maybe get into a new industry. It's been a time where people have really stopped and looked within to say, what do I want from my life? Recognizing how valuable life is through this COVID, you know, the impact that it's had on us. Now, I think the positive impacts really outweigh the negative, because one, I think everyone recognizes how important people are. They finally, something, you know, I've been saying for a long time, unfortunately, it's taking COVID for companies to recognize that appreciation of our people is really what matters. Mm-hmm. And there's more collaboration that happens as a result, because everybody has to be all in and everyone has to do whatever is needed at this point just to stay alive. And so through that, you've got this amazing, wonderful human connection. The human element has just really risen to the top. And it's a beautiful thing to see that companies are really looking at their people in that way. Beyond the fact that technical side, of course, a lot of them have taken this time, downtime, to educate, not only train, but to educate and train their people and their employees of who they want to be as a company culture. You know, before, when business is good, everyone's so busy working and they don't have time to think about, oh, you know, what was my dream in building this business? And it was just running on, you know, like a machine. And instead, now they've had this time to say, oh my gosh, I've been going nonstop. Do I have the company that I want? Do I have the culture, the kind of people involved in my business that I really wanted from the beginning? So I think for all those reasons, and cross-training happens a lot now because you've got fewer people in and you still need to do all of those different tasks. And so it's really helped people keep employees employed. And it's, I think, broadened the scope and the spectrum of what people are doing, and therefore it creates empathy for other positions. When things start coming back and more, and the companies are filling back in their positions, others will have more empathy to understand what it was that someone else was doing in that job now that they too have experienced that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And it ticks and ties pretty well you know, where Hollis is coming from, not only just sort of the working, you know, on yourself, but, you know, where she started off at the top, just talking about, just thinking about the talent, right? And it's the value that you add, not necessarily the experience that you have. So many companies today, and I'll be honest, I'm guilty of this too, right? In a lot of different ways. I will look for people who have X number of years doing, you know, market research or quantitative surveys or qualitative work or design work or design thinking workshops or in other ways. But you have, there's other people that, you know, as we've evolved, even as a team, we think about, you know, here's someone with, went out and took, has been taking sort of visualization courses, how to visualize meetings, how to visualize events, right? Doing cartooning work, no customer experience work whatsoever, but deep empathy skills, great communication skills. So like those soft skills, like the core elements are there. And we're like, this person would be fantastic. Not only because, you know, we can work with them and give them a new toolkit on top of a great one that they've already got, but they've got this rich experience that none of us have, right? And that creates diversity of thought, diversity of ideas within the team that we never would have had. So such a critical piece to that. Hollis and Joe, like, I think the idea of you've got to have, you know, here's sort of the job spec, and you're going to do these 10 things. It actually doesn't talk to your ability to deliver value and what outputs you're going to create, which is really important as well. So like, if I think about just even like the job specs that people write, it almost is pigeonholing people into, you got to fit this mold versus you're going to have to go and deliver XYZ. So can you even go do that to begin with? Right.
Yes, exactly. You know, and you asked about how it translates in terms of EX to CX. You do have to, I think you hire according to attitude and character. Skills can be taught. Now, granted, if you have an accounting position or a medical position, something specific, yes, of course, you have to look at those other skills, right?
You got to know how to fly a plane, right?
Yeah. But otherwise, you know, it is really about who's going to contribute and be a cohesive, collaborative, true team player and someone who's going to be supporting everyone else in the process. Because EX and CX are, you know, basically it's a natural thread, right, that runs between the two of them. And when woven together correctly, it's going to produce this smooth operation for both sides. For they integrate, they link them together, and they'll have less friction points, which is what you want for a smooth customer experience and as well as for an employee experience. And when you're bringing people in, recognizing their unique talents and abilities and what they can contribute to the larger picture, people feel recognized, they feel appreciated, they feel seen, and they're then going to be a part of something bigger. And when they feel that way, there is no way that feeling and those that energy will not be passed on to the customer. And that's ultimately what's going to create that amazing customer experience.
100% agree. Thinking about all this, let's talk a little bit about, you know, your specific modules within Experience All-Star. So you got this rich background on the EX side, connecting that to the CX. So what part of the curriculum and what can people expect when you're sort of up, talking about, you know, your experience and what people should be doing and thinking about?
Sure. Well, Hollis will do a fantastic job of, you know, really helping bring in the right people into your business. And my portion of the curriculum will work through employee engagement in order to create employee lifetime value. It's a fact. Gallup reports that highly engaged employees bring in 147% more profits. And of course, this is a surefire way to drastically reduce churn. You mentioned soft skills. You know, when you have high turnover, it's not just the financial impact of the recruiting and the retraining and all those technical hard aspects and steps that they have to go through. But also I refer to them as essential skills, but it's the impact that you're going to have with that turn on the morale of your team, on the cohesiveness and how are they working? You're working to build this team together, and you've always had these start and stops and different people in and out, like a revolving door. Not only is your team going to feel completely discombobulated and not united, but your customer is going to constantly see someone being trained, having to ask someone, always go back and ask the questions. There just will be a bad experience overall. And so it's really important that when you bring people in, you engage them, you really educate them and show them what they're about so that they become a true part of that team. And when you do, you're going to create the employee life experience. And it's what I think is really important in this class that you're going to learn about how to create that great employee experience from staff room to boardroom. And it's the formula that will create this long-term company success. And through doing that, you're going to naturally increase the experience both within your people and create a stellar customer experience. Basically, the key foundation for me is, again, touching on what Hala said, is the EI part of it, the emotional intelligence. And so around that, I've kind of created the foundation of the areas that you'll touch on in the employee journey, but it will be based on this 3E formula that I have. And it just really hones in about education, engagement, and entrust to create those happy, loyal employees, rather. And of course, when you have happy, loyal employees, you're going to have happy, loyal customers.
100%. And I want to talk to you just a little really quickly about your point earlier. So many companies are at this inflection point in terms of who they want to be, right? Who are they? But who, are they the company that they thought they were? And if not, do they need to change, and what do they need to change? And, especially on this show, we talk a lot about, measuring employee engagement, understanding the employee experience, culture as driving culture from a customer-led perspective. Do you think that a lot of companies are getting that piece right, or have the tools internally even to start asking those questions, Jill?
I think they're getting a really big wake-up call, for sure. I think that some companies are getting it right, and they're recognizing, because of everything going on with COVID, that there truly is a partnership with their employees. And in order to not only survive, but to thrive in this, especially with this pandemic, that they're really recognizing the success that they have due to the input that they have from their employees, that they're really attributing them to their success. And they're seeing them as a partnership. And I think that's really important, because when companies see their people as a part of it, and they have this agility to shift what's going on and to staying true to what I think of as their soul of their business, their ethos and their culture, then they're going to get it right, because they, as long as they're staying true to that, then there's no way they can go wrong. And I think, yeah, the way you expressed it was right, that companies are really challenged by looking at what is their why throughout this process. I think a lot of them who are getting it wrong and places to improve are people who are only looking at the bottom line still throughout this. And look, everyone knows that the bottom line, of course, is important. And even employees know that. But they want to feel like that they are more important than the bottom line, that the company owners and the executive management feel like that they're more about the people than they are about the bottom line. And when they do that, the bottom line will naturally take care of itself.
100% agree with that. All right, so this training program, you've got the individual, how to bring in the right talent, how to work on yourself, treat yourself as a project. Now we're talking about moving into the employee experience. And I love, Jill, how you said it, from the staff room to the boardroom. How do you create that ongoing engagement to make people feel like they're part of something special? So, James, if we can flip to you really quickly.
Yes.
What's your role in this? Because you have such rich customer experience background. So tell us a little bit about where your focus is in this program and how you're approaching it.
Yeah. So for me, the way that I look at customer experience is customer experience isn't about the things that you do. It's about the way that you think. So that's what I'm going to be approaching with this. I'm going to be trying to bring a high level understanding that anyone can understand of principles and philosophies and mindsets that create ideal experiences for customers. Now, you may notice that I said ideal, not amazing, not wow, not extravagant, not super brilliant. I just said ideal because not every customer needs a mind-blowing experience. It's kind of like if, okay, Bill, who's your favorite band or your favorite music artist?
The Grateful Dead.
Nice. So if you went to a Grateful Dead show and, you know, they had like really cool fireworks and really cool light shows and everything, that would be great. That would be ideal for you as a fan. However, if you then went to see a band like, let's say, Mogwai, has anyone heard, anyone on this podcast, Bill, Jill, Dennis, Hollis, have you heard of a band called Mogwai?
No.
Yeah, I kind of figured I'd get no's across.
Should we have heard, James, should we have heard of a band called Mogwai? I guess it's a bigger question for him.
Yeah, you should have done, but whatever, that's fine. You can feel bad about that later. Listeners, listeners, if you have heard of a band called Mogwai, hit me up, let me know, and we'll judge everybody that hasn't heard of them together. Anyway, they're a super chilled, super laid back, relaxing band. If I went to see Mogwai live and they had fireworks and crazy lights, that would not be an ideal experience because it's all about understanding who your customers are, understanding their needs and successful outcomes and building the experiences to deliver them. That's what I mean by principles and mindsets, not stuff that you do. Because with that mindset, you would go to the Grateful Dead show and then you'd come back and go, right, that was amazing. So all we need to do to make our show good is have fireworks and crazy lights. No, that isn't how it works. So for me, I want people to understand the philosophy behind understanding new customers and articulating successful customer outcomes and then making sure the things you do align towards the delivery of those things.
So James, I get the sort of the mindset within oneself, but then are you also covering how do you like bring the whole firm into that mindset as well?
I think it kind of comes around to like vision and mission of the company. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think a lot of people get confused when it comes to vision and mission. They either think they're the same thing or that maybe they're not really important, or it's just something you put on your slide deck when you're talking to people. But for me, vision and mission are vital for a business. And the way I define them is vision for a company is selfish. Mission is selfless. I will explain. So the vision is about the company, what the company wants to achieve. We want to be the number one widget seller in all of the world. Mission is about your legacy, the impact you want to have on the world, what you want to do for your customers. And realistically, when you look at it that way, I think employees connect with a mission more than they do a vision, because a vision could be to earn X amount in revenue or to achieve X amount of status. That's cool and everything. And it's a good target to head towards. But for me, mission is the thing that employees attach themselves to. Understanding how the work they do on a daily basis impacts customers' lives. And I think that's actually one of the best gifts you can give to any employee. The understanding of how the work they do impacts people's lives and using that as inspiration for everything you do going forward, using it as a guide, realizing that every single person in this business is working together as one big team to achieve this mission, something bigger than ourselves. That gift, allowing an employee to know that when they wake up every morning, they are part of something bigger. They are helping achieve something greater than themselves. They are leaving a legacy. Mate, that is so, so powerful.
So tell me a little bit about how do you create the mindset? Do you mind just touching on that a little bit?
How do I create the mindset?
Yeah, like how do you get into that mindset?
Dude, I'm not sure I understand the question.
So you're talking about, sorry, I apologize. So you're talking about sort of mindset and what you're bringing to the training. So tell us a little bit about like how you get into that mindset. Can you just touch on that a little bit? I don't want to give away the secret sauce of the training program. People should be actually going through this training program with you guys, but like, tell us a little bit like how does that create? Does it start with that sort of vision and mission and helping people understand like where they fit in the organization create that mindset for themselves?
With the vision and mission part, I'm pretty sure that Jill and Hollis are going to kind of have that bit covered, but it hands over to my part perfectly well, because once you've got that in place, you can then start to do everything within that framework. Now, when it comes to the mindset towards the customer experience thing, it's about understanding that customers are different. In fact, every single customer is different. And trying to look at customers through the lens of demographics can be really damaging sometimes. Looking at age, looking at gender, looking at race, looking where they live, looking how much they contribute to the business, how much they earn, whether like what level of education they've got. So tell you what, let me give you a little story that will demonstrate that very well. So let me tell you about the story of Charles and John. So Charles and John were both born in the same year. Okay, they're in their 60s now. They are both married. They've both been married more than once. They've both got grown-up kids. They are both high net worth individuals. They are both entrepreneurs. They're both in the public eye. And what else? Oh, yeah, they both live in castles.
Right. So traditionally, I see where the story is going.
Yes, but traditionally, you'd look at these people and you'd go, well, hang on a second. They're literally the exact same person. So we should treat them in the exact same way. Now, if you were to do that and build an experience to keep that person happy, you would run into problems. Because if I tell you that Charles is actually Charles George, the Prince of Wales, and John is John Osborne, otherwise known as Ozzy Osborne, the Prince of Darkness, you start to realize that although these people share almost exactly the exact same demographics, their psychographics are completely different. So it's about looking at people for who they are over what they are. And once you understand people for who they are, you can really start to dig deeper and understand, well, what are their expectations? What do they think is going to happen? What do they expect to happen? What are their needs? What needs to happen? And what is their successful outcome? So for me, it's all based around customer understanding, being able to understand your customers, being able to read your customers, and being able to articulate that successful customer outcome. Because in a business, if you are doing things on a daily basis that do not contribute towards the delivery of a successful customer outcome, you've got some important questions to ask yourself. You've got some uncomfortable questions to ask. Because if you are doing something that does not contribute to a successful customer outcome, why are you doing it? So that's the mindset I want people to take with this.
Cool. So look, you know, the CX practice has been around for a long, long time, as you know. There's so much research out there about how CX teams are failing, how they're not as successful as they can be. CSAT scores have kind of like petered out, et cetera. You know, do you think mindset's a big part of that? And does it tie? I mean, like, I'm just trying to think about sort of the coursework that you guys are developing. You know, starting with Hollis again. I just wanted to recap, starting with Hollis, the individual, bringing them in, talking about the employee experience, engaging them. Now we're talking about mindset. Are companies just missing that flow? And I know, Dennis, you got a whole different part of the program, which I want to get to in a second, but are companies just kind of missing that flow and how it all ticks and ties together?
Yeah, and part of it might be too much of an emphasis on your feedback scores. We've got to a point where people are so interested in their feedback scores that they put them above everything else. And that's quite dangerous because it makes people more interested in getting a high score than actually delivering a good experience. So that is one of the ways that it's sort of changed. And the reason CSAT scores are sort of flatlining, so to speak, is because customers' expectations are changing all the time, every single day, with every single interaction they have, with every single product and service. It's not a case of back in the day, their expectations about your company would be weighed against other companies that are very similar to you in your industry, in your vertical, doing your exact thing. Now, they benchmark you against the best companies they've ever done business with. So if I go to an Apple store and get a great experience, I wonder why this airline can't give me a good experience. So expectations are a massive part of this. And the thing is, you need to set customers' expectations, because if you don't set customers' expectations, they'll set them for themselves, and then you won't meet them because you won't know what any of them are. So for me, the focus on feedback scores is damaging, but also the lack of focus on customer expectations is mega damaging.
So I agree with you 100%. I actually think that a lot of companies are just asking the wrong questions. And to your point, expectations evolve, but the company still has the same survey, for lack of a better term, yeah, that they've been employing for 5 years. But guess what, folks? The market has gone way past that, right? Your customers have grown. They think about your products and services differently, but you're still asking them the questions in a way that, of the product you were delivering 5 years ago, right? And even in the context of sitting across from them qualitatively and just having a dialogue, right? Like, mm-hmm, a lot of that hasn't changed either. I think that companies should really be thinking about, and it's something that we do where I am as well, just really thinking about, are we talking to our customers and clients about the right topics? Are we learning from them in a way that we're going to get the best insights and information to be able to humanize, not so much about the metric itself, although I know it's important depending on what level you are in the organization, right? But humanizing, that feedback in a way that your agile teams or whoever that is in the company that's that someone has been said, blessed to say, you go fix this stuff, right? They can actually take this stuff and actually do something like really important work and actually change it from a customer's perspective.
Yeah. This isn't necessarily going to be something that's going to be part of this course, but it is an interesting thing to think about. We kind of do need to evolve to a place where the way we analyze experiences isn't so reactive, isn't after the experience has happened. It needs to be during the experience. It needs to be as it's happening. So again, to put it into a music perspective, you go to a Grateful Dead gig, they could measure how well that gig went by how many t-shirts they sell at the end of the gig. So after the gig, they go, okay, if we sell 100 t-shirts, we know we played well. And they might go out there and say, okay, how many t-shirts did we sell? And they go, 50. And you go, oh, damn, we must not have played very well. What are we going to do? And yeah, they might be able to improve for next time, which is really good. However, it's already too late. They've already played that one gig. Now, how many Grateful Dead gigs have you ever been to?
102.
Okay, 102. So let's call you somewhat of an authority on this.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm Jerry Garcia doing the gig. How do I know in the experience as it's happening whether we're doing a good job or not?
Maybe it depends on how much heroin he was doing during that show, perhaps. Yeah, maybe.
Fair enough.
And well, to your point too, right? Like, what if it's a smaller venue and it's half the size? And that's not being taken into account too, right?
The point is, it's crowd noise. It's the crowd feedback.
Yeah.
In the experience as it's happening. If I'm playing a gig and the crowd is quiet, dead quiet, I know we're not doing something right. I know something's going wrong. And in that experience, we need to change things up. We need to do something differently to win people back over, not just carry on because that's our strategy and then see how many t-shirts we sell at the end, because that's a lagging indicator, whereas the crowd noise is a leading indicator. So I think we need to move away from the t-shirt sales measurement and closer to the crowd noise measurement.
So I know you said that's not part of this course, but it kind of is, right? If you think about the mindset in and of itself and how we need to be thinking about our business and our customers and how we're measuring that differently, that in and of itself is a mindset.
Okay, I'm going to put it in the course. It's part of the course now.
Do I get some kind of course credit? Right? Like, how do we do this?
Of course not.
I'm sure Jill Hollis and Dennis will have something to say about that.
Thanks, James. We've got to split them in five ways now.
Yeah, we're just giving it away for free now. That truly is a mindset, right? Like, how are you challenging the norms? Even if you've been in this space for a long time, how are you challenging your own norms and changing your mindset to be much more productive and deliver a better experience day to day? All right, Dennis. So I'm really curious, kind of get into your portion of the training program. You know, you focus a lot in operationalizing CX strategy into real tangible action. So I'm getting the flow here now, right? And for listeners, right, we just to kind of recap, we started with the individual, we moved to sort of the employee experience end to end. Now we're talking about sort of like that mindset and rethinking, or the ability to rethink and reshape what you're doing. Dennis, talked a little bit about what you're focused on with respect to experience all stars and how your background and what you bring to the table is adding value.
Sure. So can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Bill, I think I would just take a little step back and say, you know, when you look at the four of us coming together, what I think we all realized was we are all together more than the sum of our parts. And we recognize that there is a ramp up time or a length of time in which it takes a company to have a complete awareness. So we put this program together to be sort of a primer or a way to unify an entire organization quickly. So a thin layer class that everyone can take and then start from the same page. And when we talk about that same page, I really think of the entire customer experience, employee experience, all of it, in my mind, strategically comes to grappling with two things, the known and the unknown. And so when I look at, let's call them customers, unknown customers versus known customers, I would focus on the known customers and I deliver tactics for customers that we know that increase their happiness or their good experiences with us, with the brand, and deliver revenue ultimately to a company. And when I look at the unknown customers or the unknown employees, what you see is James, his perspective opens up this conversation to all kinds of different people. He's not focusing it on one gender or demographic. It's an opening of this aperture for a brand to see customers better. And when you combine that with Hollis's ability to open up the aperture of unknown employees, who are we missing out there that drives this the story or the value of the brand? And that hands off to the work that Jill's doing to cultivate employee lifetime value. We know these employees. We know what drives them. We know what motivates them. We know how they contribute to the mission and vision, to James's point. But at the end of the day, I sort of clean up, or I'm more like a backstop to these three geniuses. I tie the data together. I take the touch points, regardless of whether they are the acquisition of a new customer, the acquisition of a new employee, the employee handbooks or communication to the employees, and then all the way out to the customers that we do know. And really, when you tie all of that together in a way that everyone in the organization can understand, you end up with the class that the four of us have put together.
So tell us a little bit, Dennis, do you mind just sharing just even high level, like how do you bring that together a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the process really is, let's say you're a brand or a company of any size, and your major dilemma is, I've heard about customer experience, employee experience. There's a lot of new, fresh marketing content around the topic, but how do I activate that in my organization? You then tap into our class. The four of us spend a little time on each of these topics from start to finish, from customer and employee experiences. We bring you up to speed, and then you're in a position to then, if you choose to, take deeper dive classes, maybe consult with one of us. And depending upon where you need to focus within your brand, you may say, we don't have the right people. And I think Jill and Hollis are fantastic at helping you through that stage of your particular journey, no pun intended, for the brand. But I think if you look at, you know, I want to acquire new customers, or I want to put our brand on the right mission vision to be customer centric, James can help lead the way there. But when you get to really driving revenue, at the end of the day, my mission is I focus on the right tactics. I think James made a really salient point earlier that not all experiences have to be over the top or wow experiences. Just receiving your monthly statement from a company can be an experience that is par or has the right information on it, as an example, all the way up to big experiential situations, events, hopefully when we get out of COVID. But at the end of the day, what I do is I take customer lifetime value, I break it up into recency of purchase, frequency, and size of purchase, and I help companies understand how their performance, their employee experience, and the customer experiences align through all these different pieces of data. And it becomes a lever or a system framework that they can use to navigate their brand closer to that mission and vision that James talked about.
So cool. I'm a big believer in you don't need to create wow experience. One, wow experiences can be really expensive. So you can kind of just run yourself out of business at some point. But you know, if you're just doing things just consistently well, and the customer knows that they can expect that every day from you, that is a great experience. So look, I'll just even like, you know, I know everybody talks about Amazon, but like even just think about Amazon, what they do super well is allow you to find your product and get it fast. That's not necessarily a wow experience. They've just made that easy and they do that consistently well. Like I'm a Prime member. I know that I'm going to get my product no matter what it is 2 days later. And there's an Amazon truck showing up at my door every day. I mean, I got kosher salt yesterday and I didn't really care because I'm not paying for shipping, but I know I'm going to get it in 2 days. Right. And then there's all this stuff that comes obviously in different boxes, but, I'm with you. Like I don't think you need to wow customers necessarily. I think that even just giving them something simple is a wow experience in and of itself, because a lot of companies just create complexity in the process and maybe don't have the system and ticking and tying it all together. Dennis, as you mentioned. All right, so we've got sort of people, we've got employee experience end to end, we've got vision and mission. Now we're kind of ticking and tying it together in the organization. Like, is that something that is just going to take from an organization just continuously working at it? Because I know, like, even just my own experience, we're constantly working at engaging the business, engaging our finance partners, engaging our HR partners, engaging our stakeholders and agile teams. This is real work as well. This is this ongoing kind of, you know, boxing match. And sometimes it feels like, but like, are you guys bringing that? Like, how do you make this sustainable and repeatable? And it sounds like maybe Dennis, that system is what you're talking about.
You know, Bill, I think you bring up a lot of points, and I would, at the risk of shifting the conversation too much, I would say, I think companies know that it's a big challenge to become customer centric. And they do so because they recognize that there's big value there. But I think what the four of us are focused on in 2021 coming out of the gate is how do you bring everyone up to speed quickly? I think there's a lot of deep dive complex content out there. I think what we're bringing to the marketplace is just this short and sweet overview that everyone in a company can take. They won't take very much time to complete this course. It's very easy. It's a primer. And from there, you have a foundation. So I think what we're attempting to do is shift the conversation away from execution and away from the promise of customer experience and shift it to, can we get a company up to speed in the shortest amount of time possible? So their foundation sets every person in the company up for success. And through that, makes every customer experience better.
I love that. I love the notion of it being an accelerator or an accelerant for an organization to get everybody aligned. That's such a critical part of the work. All right, let's talk about the coursework a little bit. You're calling it Experience All-Stars. When are you guys planning to launch this, and where can people start to find it, you think?
Yeah, you know, I would say that we're just wrapping it up now. We're going to release it in Q1. We'd love to come back to your show and do a live release party if you'll have us back. And in the meantime, each of us has a website that you can go to. My new website is at denniswakabayashi.com. And of course, all of us can chime in and give our best contact information. But for me, denniswakabayashi.com, and I'll have information there. People who are interested can sign up ahead of time, sort of a pre-release sign up, if you will. And we're really excited. I think giving companies a foundation, a starter pack, if you will, for 2021 is one of the better things we could do as CXers this year.
I think what you guys are pulling together here is an amazing body of work. Being able to get an entire organization aligned and thinking the same way, creating that mindset, and not even like before you start executing, right? Just bringing people together is such an important part of the work that customer experience and employee experience professionals, frankly, have to do, right? We're so just focused on like, all right, let's go jump in and get things done. But like, you know what? Take the time, actually get everyone on the same page and aligned, I think is really critical.
And Bill, I'll just say, you're exactly right. And you just made me think, one of the things that I think we as individual contributors to the conversation over the years, one of the misses was we focused on either the C-suite or we focused on the employees or we focused on the customers. And just like James said, when you focus on one particular group, there's not a holistic appreciation or understanding. So I think the big change is in 2021, the four of us, we're going to take it to all of the people in an organization equally, as opposed to trying to rally one group and spread the knowledge around, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. I always talk about sort of the democratization of insights. You guys are talking about the democratization of CX and EX generally, right?
100%.
As a platform for success. So cool. All right, Hollis, where can people find you? And if they want to work individually with you and maybe even, you know, get on, you know, on your mailing list, because you're producing some really cool stuff, not only on LinkedIn, but elsewhere. And I think you're adding a lot of value out there.
Awesome. Thanks, Bill. Career-design.com is my website and can also find me on LinkedIn. I have a pretty unique name, Hollis Roberts. So if you search me, I'll come up on top.
Cool. Jill, where can folks find you as well?
Thanks. You can find me at jillraff.com, and Raff is R like Robert, A-double-F like French fry. And feel free to reach out to me directly, jill@jillraff.com as well. And I also just welcome everyone to connect with me on LinkedIn and join me for my live cast, which is known as Celebrity Customer Experience, Riffs with Jill Raff. And we can engage there as well. Thank you.
Riffs with Raff. I love that. James, you got a pretty big presence. You're out there a lot doing keynotes. Where can folks find you as well?
Well, they can go to www.jamesdodkins.com. That's D as in Dodkins, O as in Odkins, D as in Dkins. You get the picture.
Yeah, so cool. Hey, folks. All right. So everyone, experience all-stars, get on the mailing list. I think this is going to be pretty special stuff, and I can't wait to have a look at it myself. So thanks, everyone, for coming on the show, spending a little bit of time with us, and talking about what you guys are pulling together and bringing to, you know, this vast community that, frankly, I think still needs a lot of help. Come Q1, I'm looking forward to it. And that's it for us. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you.
We're out. Talk to you soon,
Thanks
everyone.
Thanks for listening to Be Customer Led with Bill Stakos. We are grateful to our audience for the gift of their time. Be sure to visit us at BeCustomerLed.com for more episodes. Leave us feedback on how we're doing or tell us what you want to hear more about. Until next time, we're out.